I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Thus saith the Lord Jesus Christ. Those words by Jesus, that Bible verse, is probably one of the most well-known Bible verses still in our culture. And it's probably one of the most, maybe incendiary, one of those Bible verses that immediately can cause either an explosion of warmth and faith in the heart of a follower of Jesus, or can cause incredible friction. There's no in-between with that Bible verse. Jesus is being very clear that if you want to connect with, if you want to be in touch with spiritual reality, the only way is through Him. This is the exclusive claim of Jesus. Indeed, this is the exclusive claim and truth at the center of the Christian faith, Jesus Christ, the only way to God. And when we say that out loud, especially in the year of our Lord 2024, I can think of fewer things that are more unpopular. Because we live in a culture and age that is not interested in hearing that. We live in a time where we want to be perhaps tolerant, we want to be inclusive, we want to be respectful, we want to live in a kind of a harmony and kind of peace with our neighbors. And so the best way to do that, so we think and so we feel, is by minimizing these specific words of Jesus. And today largely I'm going to be speaking to Christians today. If you're a non-Christian, if you're on the periphery of faith and you're curious, I'm so glad you're here. There's still, I think, wisdom that Jesus is sharing with you. You will receive something out of this, I really do hope, with the songs and the prayers. But the message today is tailored for those who, when you say, are you a Christian, would put their hand up, would identify with that. That's who I'm speaking to today. I'm speaking to you because what Jesus is saying, he's the only way to God, is a very unpopular thing to hold, I think. And I want to explore that with you for a bit. Because when we say Jesus is the only way to God, naturally, I think, the question is, okay, on what basis? What's the proof that you could say that? Why would you believe that? Especially because there's so many other competing philosophies or ideologies or religions. How could you say Jesus is the only way? Why could we say that? You know, I was thinking about that this week. What could I say to try to explain that? And I get maybe 20 minutes before I see the watches coming out at best. So how am I going to deal with that? And the thing is, I thought about it. I could come up here and try to give some kind of exploration, say, well, the reason we trust in Jesus is because he was raised from the dead. The resurrection would prove that he's the guy. What he's saying is true. And that could sort of rehearse maybe the proofs of the resurrection of Jesus, and I could talk about that. Or I could talk about the reliability of Holy Scripture, how the Bible is a historical artifact with an incredible amount of historical backing, unrivaled in terms of documents of that age. I could start talking about that, and I could say all these things, and then after I spent 10, 15, 20 minutes, the whole sermon, just talking about that, you could sit there and you could be like, well, okay, maybe. Yeah, maybe. Not that I don't want to talk about that. It's just if you come on Sundays enough times, we'll all talk about all that. But I think what I want to get at or put our fingers on is maybe a posture of the heart. It's almost a meta question. Is when we say Jesus Christ is the only way to God, and even Christians, we cringe. Like, oh, I don't like that. Oh, I don't like that idea. I want to start talking about why we don't like that. What idea is informing that inward recoiling, that cringe at what Jesus is saying? Normally, when Jesus says something, we'd be like, oh, that's great. God speaking, we should absorb that. But when he says that, we don't like it. Why? And that's what I've been thinking about this week. So I'm offering a reflection. And hopefully this serves you spiritual food. I think part of the reason why we recoil is because Our culture right now, especially, adopted a rival religion. And the best word for that would be pluralism. And pluralism goes something like this: well, all traditions, all religions are equally valid, they're equally right, they're all equal ways to God or the divine. That's kind of like the running idea. That's the running philosophy. That's the running intellectual commitment. If you were to ask anyone there, and if you ask anyone here in Banff, hey, do you think that one religion is better than the other one? They would quickly say, no, they're all equal, they're all the same. They're all equally true. Maybe a brave soul would say equally false, but I doubt it. They'd probably say, they're all equally true. And that idea, that pluralistic idea that all traditions, all religions are equally true, what's interesting about it, and I've had enough conversations on this front, is when you ask someone who believes that, well, on what basis do you believe that to be true? How are all religions true? I rarely find someone who can give me a cogent reason for why I should believe that. If I ask that question, they just repeat the sentence, because they're all just true. As if it's a self-evident claim that we should all just, of course we believe that if you're a normal, rational person, you would just see that all religions are equally true. But I don't know how. Because of all the major religions, they're all mutually exclusive. They're all saying specific things about how to reach God or the divine or enlightenment that don't accommodate other religions. I'm a Christian. I believe Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. And my friend who's a Muslim would say, that is blasphemy, that you would think that God would show up as a human. And my Buddhist friend would say, well, you're both confused. There is no God. But my Muslim and Jewish neighbors, we'd all agree, there's a sense of self, there's a personal identity. I am me. And then my Buddhist friend would say, well, that's an illusion too. There is no self. And the whole process of spiritual journeying is to recognize that there is no self. Right? So what does it mean to say that all religions are equally true when they have competing truth claims? It's not cogent. It doesn't make sense. It just doesn't. And we don't live our lives that way. Right? We tend to want things to make sense. If I have a headache, I grab the pills, I look at it, I read it. Does it say rat poison? Yes, no. It's all relative. I pop a pill. No, I check. Tylenol. Okay, this is the right one. This and no other. Right? So why is it then when we're out there and you're having some kind of conversation, eventually the dreaded spiritual conversation comes up and someone says, all ways are ways to God. We're all like, yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. How urbane, how sophisticated, how nuanced. Why do we react that way? Well, there's probably a lot of reasons. I want to focus on the ones, the most interesting, I think, and actually the most relatable, and the one that I have greatest sympathy for. There are two reasons, but they're interconnected. I think why we accept that statement, we don't challenge it, is one, either you're familiar with history or you lived in a context where a difference in religion has caused a lot of friction, a lot of aggression, a lot of violence. Even for Christians, obviously for Christians, but you Catholic, are you Protestant? Wars, Europe, tattered, right? Or Christians in other parts of the world that aren't Canada or America are the most persecuted religion in the world. I know that doesn't make headlines. It's not interesting for our media to publicize that, but it's true. So we recognize that difference in religion, difference in ideology, can cause violence, and we don't want that. We want to live in harmony with each other. We want to be able to be neighbors and enjoy community. I don't want to disagree with you on that. I don't want to fight with you. I want to keep things peaceful, friendly. And so that's why I'll agree, I'll spout this sentence that doesn't make sense, just so that what I'm actually saying is, when we say all religions are true, we're not, almost it's like we don't even really mean that. It's just we're saying something to say, are we peaceful? Are we okay? Are we friends? Are we at peace? You know, there's a very particular, I don't know if it's North American, it could be Western, I'm pretty provincial, I haven't traveled much, but Banff's very international, so you can have these conversations with people who come from abroad. Here, if I see a friend walking down the street and I'm walking, I'll say something like, "Hey man, how you doing?" And he'll say, "Oh, I'm doing fine." And we walk past each other. That's very normal for us. But there are people from different contexts, so when you recognize them, they say, "Hey, how you doing?" They'll stop. "Oh, well, you know, my day, I had a rough morning." But then, and as they're telling you about their life, you just walk right past them. Right? And they'll stand there being like, what just happened? You asked me how I was doing. I started talking to you. You just left. Because, of course, when we say, "Hey, how you doing?" that whole sentence is kind of a filler for like, "Hi, bye, going." So, an analogy there, all ways are ways to God is equally saying, "I don't want to fight. I don't want to have war. I just want to be peaceful." That's one of the reasons we are okay with that statement. The second one, this is the one that I have a lot of compassion for. It's very tender. I want to be very sensitive with this, is that sometimes or often in our lives, we'll meet someone if you're a Christian, for example, you'll meet someone from a different tradition or a different faith system, and they're kind, and they're generous, and they're thoughtful, and their piety really does seem to be genuine. They take their religion very seriously, very humbly, and they're living out their own faith. And so here we are as a Christian, and we don't want to be heavy-handed and crass and be like, "Oh, that whole life you're living of gentleness and kindness, yeah, you're wrong. You're so sincere. You're so honest and sincere about your faith. I don't want to challenge you." And we have to pop that bubble a little bit. And I want to do it gently because that comes from a good place. Namely, you want to be kind to your neighbor. Of all things, Christianity is not inviting us to be mean, to be heavy-handed or ungentle, rough. But Jesus says, "I'm the only way, the truth, and the life." So we have to contend with that. So why? We have these two things. We don't want to have war, and we see people who are sincere in their faith. Is that enough? Seth, that should be enough. Can you just move on? Just read a Bible passage about love and get it over with. The reason I can't do that is because this matters. Truth, in the end, matters. I'll show you why. Okay, your neighbor is very gentle and very sincere. They hold their faith with incredible sincerity. Seth, that's enough. Is it? Is sincerity, honest sincerity, enough? I don't think so. Because many people have held all kinds of beliefs very sincerely. My friends, Nazis held their beliefs very sincerely. They firmly believed sincerely that some people, Aryans, were better than the rest of us, me. Very sincerely. I'm sure Cambodians enacting genocide of the Nol people on behalf of Pol Pot very sincerely believed the Marxist ideology that led them to do that evil and violence. Sincerely. Oh, you could say to me, "Okay, well, yeah, but that's evil. That's wrong." Ah, so now it matters what's true. So you see, sincerity can't be enough. You can hold, wonderfully, you can hold very good values sincerely. You can also hold evil values sincerely. Sincerity isn't enough. What matters is also what's true. And then when you're looking at what's true, then you want to hold the truth sincerely. Right? It would be a failure to hold the truth, ultimately, if you had the truth, but then you bludgeon people with it. But it's also equally a failure to be human to then ignore the truth and just sincerity for sincerity's sake. That's not enough. A lot of evil has been done in that name. And so we have to have sincerity and we have to have truth. And if you're seeking after sincerity and truth combined, what you can't do is you can't say, "Well, all ways are ways to God," because that claim is self-evidently false. It's saying nothing. The only way you could say that is if every other religion in this world, you only think of it in a kind of like a 2D plane. It's so simplistic. They all worship. They'll congregate and do things together. Only there could you say they're all the same. But fundamentally, each religion is saying such different things, such deep theologies about God and reality. Right? My Hindu neighbors are trying to realign their karma to one day escape the cycle of rebirth, to receive moksha, to release into the all-soul. My Muslim neighbor is submitting his life to the sovereign God and hoping that his good deeds will, in the balance, earn him paradise. And here, as Christians, what we're doing is we're turning to Jesus Christ and saying, there's nothing I could do to earn enlightenment or paradise. I'm a sinner. I'm broken. As much as I see the problem in this world, I'm also part of the problem. And I need help. Oh, is there anyone who could help me? And there is. Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who showed up into human history. Unlike any other sage or teacher or prophet in this world, Jesus alone, all those things, yet more. God come in the flesh. And he was murdered. He was lynched by the government for what he said and what he taught. He said he was God, and they killed him, lynched him on the Roman tree. And God vindicated what he said by bringing him back from the dead. All these founders of philosophies, of tradition, Socrates, Plato, Muhammad, all of them, dead and buried. The Buddha, dead and buried. The Buddha's bones are dispersed all around the world as relics. Muhammad, buried in Medina. Interestingly, there are no bones of Jesus on this earth. He did not leave those for us. He was raised from the dead. He's alive, even today. So I'm going to tell you something. You're on the road of your life, and then you experience a bifurcation, two paths. One path has a dead person right there. The other one has a living person on that road. Who are you asking for directions? I am turning to the living one who can point me the way to God. In fact, God himself, Jesus Christ. And so today, the whole point of today, I haven't given you any argumentation for the truth of Christianity. That wasn't the point today. The point was for you to question the uncritically absorbed assumption that all ways are ways to God. And we've seen now, it's not coherent, it doesn't make sense, it's not true. And belief sincerely held is not enough. You need both. And once you can see that, you may be poised to turn back to Jesus, maybe for the first time, and read his story again. Read the Gospels. Pray to him again. Speak to him. Share your life with him again. You won't be encumbered by the false ideologies of this age. You will now be a soul set free to the capacity to receive God the way you were always meant to be. And so I implore you today, the first time, if you haven't, turn to Jesus. He is the only one who can heal your heart, who can meet your needs, who can save this world. In fact, he's doing it right now. Hold your life in your hands. We're about to come to the Lord's table, my friends. We're about to come and receive the bread and the wine. Don't let this be just pomp and circumstance. Don't let this be just what we do on Sunday. Bring your life to God. Come to him, to Jesus Christ, the only way to God. Amen? All right, let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks and praise that in the midst of the complicated mess of our lives often, the victories we have, the many defeats, in the midst of a messy history as a human race, God, we've messed up this world so much. God, you haven't abandoned us. You haven't ignored us. You've come to us in the person of your Son, Jesus. You've come to us to heal us, to make us whole, to create our new world, to give us a new life. God, but you won't force that on us. You invite us and you allow us to choose. God, I pray for everyone in this room. I don't know their lives. I don't know their story. You do. God, I pray that whatever's in their life that is preventing them from coming to you, I pray that you would remove that. I pray that you would help all of us come to you to a new and life-giving faith. Help us to receive your love. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.